Get a person next to you and tell them, I am glad you are here. I'm glad you guys are here, man. I'm excited about today. Today's going to be another good one. Now, how many of you went home this week and you had a whole lot more thought into what you said about people and how you said it about them after our talk about gossip last week? How many of you changed? All right, I did. I didn't put my hand up because I wanted to seem holy. So there's that. But we've been talking about my big fat mouth and your big fat mouth. So there's that. Well, first week we talked about complaining and changing the way that we talk about things. And how many of you know I've been trying when anybody says anything to me in a negative manner, trying to say, yeah, but this is the yeah buts that I like, right? Yeah, but this is amazing, right? I did it. Charles, I'm going to use you. He stepped out, so he doesn't even know. He's in the lobby. Just shh. He said this morning, he's like, man, I had a horrible night's sleep. It was a bad night. I was like, yeah, but you got to wake up this morning. Hey, man, is that a good thing, right? I got to wake up, and that night's over, so we can move on from there. How many of you know we need to do that with a lot of stuff in our life? Oh, wait, it's over. Let's leave that behind us, and let's keep on going, right? Keep on going. We talked about complaining the first week. Then we talked about gossiping, listening to whispers. And so if you missed those and you want to go back and check them out, they're on there. Today, I really enjoy our title. It's called Liar, Liar, Pants on Fire. How many of you remember that from when you were a kid? Huh? How amazing would it be? Like, if I could have a superpower, I think that's what I want. I want, when somebody lies to me, me and my mind see their pants just go like that. And so I would know, like, that's not right. Let's try again. Right? Okay, that was an incorrect statement. Would you like to tell me the real one now? But like, how did you know? I'm like, well, if I told you, you wouldn't believe me anyway. Right? It would be amazing. Now we have stories that talk to us about lying and try and teach our kids about lying, right? And how many of you know we teach them those stories, but we also do other things that leads them the other direction, right? Like, you guys just got really quiet. You didn't amen on that one. We also do things that kind of lead. So I'm gonna talk about my youngest daughter. How many of you know who Buddy the Elf is? Yeah. And he's there around Christmas time, right? So he's like a little elf, and he moves around at night, and he does different things. There's not any really kind of maybe. So my daughter came to me. Buddy's still running around our house and moving since Christmas. Like, he just never went away. He's been hanging out with us all year. And this is what happened. My youngest daughter runs around the house every day looking for Buddy, right? So for like 3 or 4 days, Buddy didn't move. And you guys know why. He didn't move. And so she came to my wife and she said, Mom, Buddy didn't move. And she just looked at her and was like, oh, really? She's like, Mom, I know you move him. So could you please move him now? Because it's hard to run around and him still be in the same spot. It's like, oh, okay. So we moved Buddy again, right? So she knows. We play, but she knows the real meaning behind it. I mean, you know, sometimes it's okay to play things, but at the same time, there needs to be truth that comes into our life and what we teach kids, what we teach the people that are around us. And so if you don't understand how bad our culture is getting, look around, man. Everybody's lying about everything. And you say, well, it's a different perspective on it. Well, maybe, but a lot of it's just lies, right? If I say it this way, then I can get it. Or if I say something and I say it in a different way, like I can have a conversation with Nick, and I can say three words with one inflection, and it means something totally different than if I say it with another. Right? That's why I hate text. Some of y'all love text. I am not. I do not. Y'all know, and y'all are the ones that are mad when I call. You'll be like, why does he call me? Doesn't he know I text? Sorry. The reason why is because depending on your attitude or the way that you're thinking, it can come across a different way, right? And sometimes we use that in our life to our advantage, right? We say things one way, and then when we reply about why we said what we said, talking to someone else, we say it the same words in a different manner, and then it makes us look really, really good instead of bad. How many of you know that's the same as a lie, right? Y'all with me? I'm just helping you guys. I'm just helping you. It's become part of our culture. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand or anything. This is a rhetorical question. But how many of you would be honest and say that you had told a lie within the last 24 hours? Just think about it. Just think about it. Don't lie out loud. I'm like, no, me never. Right? That's just because studies have shown that the average person actually lies 4 times a day. Four times a day, the average person actually tells a lie at least four times a day. And there's a study done by the University of Massachusetts that says 60% of people cannot meet a new person without having a 10-minute and have a 10-minute conversation without telling at least one lie. 60%. So 6 out of 10 people meet somebody new, like, hey, how you doing? All you new people that I met today, I promise I didn't lie. It was not me. You were in the 40%, right? Okay? Like, I made sure I didn't say much else. Hi, my name's Toby. That's it. You know, it's good, right? But thinking that thought, man, how crazy is that? That 6 out of 10 people can't have a conversation with someone new for the first time without telling some sort of a lie. And you say, well, I don't mean to tell a lie, but how many of you know sometimes it does happen. Sometimes I'm careful about what I tell my kids now, man, because I'm like, hey, I'm gonna do this. We'll do this tomorrow, and then tomorrow comes and I didn't do it. What does that make me? Well, you just ran out of time. That's not really your fault. What? I mean, I'm the one who determines what I do with my time, right? So if I promise, if I say I'm going to say something, how many of you know I need to do it, or it becomes a lie? There you go. I want you to think about this quote. This is one of my favorite quotes of the whole series, and I don't know why, but it just is. But it says, those who think it's possible to tell white lies soon grow colorblind. Those who think it's permissible to tell little white lies soon become colorblind. Why? There's something that happens to us when we do that. Lying causes us to do what? Lie even more. Telling this lie causes more and more. And so I looked up some studies and some research about lying. And how many of you like the Google machine? Like, I typed in the Google machine. Is it possible to tell a lie so many times that you believe it to be truth? And how many of you know there are people that do that in their life? They tell the lie so many times, regardless of what it is, that they begin to believe that lie. And that becomes who they are instead of who they truly were. How many of you know stretching it? All you fishermen out there, right? He was this big, and it was like this. You know, that's like dad, my girls call me. I'm like, man, it was this big. Like, dad, you told a minute ago it was this big. I'm like, hey, stop. This is my story. You're going to let me tell it, okay? You just stay over there. Here, have a sucker, right? I don't know. It's just... But what happens is we start to lie so much, or we start to say untruths or half-truths. How many of you know half-truths are just as bad as a lie, right? As a kid, I never understood why I got in trouble when my mom said, what'd you do? I was like, well, we went to the movies, and then we hung out a minute, and then I came home. I just didn't tell her I went to a party to hang out for 2 hours before I came home, right? But I didn't tell her a lie. Well, yes, I did, because how many of you know when she found out it was a lie? I lied to her. I'm like, no, I just didn't tell you. But how many of you know that's the same thing? Omitting the truth. You know that we talked about it before, but there are sins of commission and sins of omission, right? But do you know all sin stems out of one thing? Love, not having it. Scripture says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you do these two, all the rest of them are bound up in it. Right? If I love my wife the way that I should, I don't do things that would cause me to do other things. I don't lie. If I love my neighbor, then I'm super happy that they got that new thing instead of coveting it for myself. Right? If you say, what does that have to do with lying? A lot of times we lie to ourselves because of those things. We make justifications as to why we can say those things that aren't true, and we know that they're not true. Why? Because of what happens. But let me tell you what the Word of God says about lies. Y'all ready? Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. The New Living Translation says, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. He delights in those that tell the truth. The Lord detests it when we lie, and he rejoices when we tell the truth. Detest means despise, hate, or disgust. So when we lie, you could say that God is definitely not pleased with us, with what we've done. Amen? I'm going to say that again because y'all were really quiet on that. When we lie, the Lord is definitely not pleased with us. With our actions, with what we've done. Yeah, that was a lot better. We'll try it again later. So I love what Paul says about it in Ephesians 4. We're going to read from 21 through 25. It says, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. So I'm a squirrel. Ready? I was reading a study the other day, and it was talking about, I did a couple of them, but I think it was in 1 Peter. Maybe not. I don't remember. It was in the Bible between Genesis and Revelations. It's in there. I'm going to let you hunt for it. But it was talking about, we're not supposed to judge people that are outside the church, right? How can I hold Fred Johnson? Y'all remember somebody I talked to outside about Fred Johnson, remember? Jeff? Fred Johnson, how can I come to him and say, you're not living the way you should. You need to live the way the Bible says. But he has never opened the Bible or even said anything about God or said that he's a part of the kingdom of God. So why am I judging him about the way he's living? I shouldn't, right? But the scripture tells us in a different place that the people that are inside the church, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, we're supposed to go to them and say, hey, man, this is not right about your life. Hey, I see this in your life, and it's not. Now, we're supposed to do it in a right manner. We're supposed to do it in love. There's not a spiritual gift of sitting in the church and discerning what everyone else's problem is. Okay, that's not how discernment works, right? That's not how the gifts are, right? That's not the way. I'm just being honest. They're there, and they work for good, but that's not one of them. Right? But what happens is we need to understand, and again, if we would turn it around on us and look at ourselves with that same magnifying glass, we would, it would open our eyes to a lot of things, I think. But it says this, that we have put off our old self, verse 22, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self. So it's not that we just take off the old one, but we put on the new one. How many know in the morning when you get up, you pick what clothes you're going to put on? How about we put on the new self every morning, same way? How about we get on and we put it on like a coat saying, hey, I'm going to be new today. I'm not going to live the way I used to. I'm not going to be who I used to be. I'm not going to look at people the way I used to look at people. I'm going to be new. I'm going to be different. Because if we're in Christ, we're what? New creations, right? We're new creations. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. The New Living Translation in verse 25 says, so stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all part of the same body. You know why a lot of people lie? It's because they think other people aren't going to like them if they don't make themselves seem better or make themselves seem interesting or whatever. That's why a lot of lies come. But how many of you know, God created you to be amazing just the way you are. He created me to be amazing the way I am. Sometimes I live up to it, right? Sometimes not so much. I have a shirt that says they said I could be anything when I grow up, so I became awesome. That's what happened right here, right? How many of you know we need to understand who God made us to be, how much he loves us, what he created us to do in life, and those lies will fall away from us. They will. Throw off the old nature, since you know about Christ. And that's what he said at the beginning. Because you know about Christ and what you are in him and that he's come into your life, since you found him, you need to be different. That's what shows that we've given our life to Christ, but we need to stop telling lies. Listen to this quote, and it might make you think about how you say things. Says you may never be more like the devil than when you're telling lies. It's a true statement. You may never be more like the devil than when you were telling lies. Because what is the devil? The father of lies. It's powerful and very true. God's word says this. You are, John 8:44, it says, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Maybe that's one of the reasons why God hates lying so much, because it's so contrary to what his nature is. And it's exactly what the devil does. Again, any principle, anything that God has, how many of you know there is a mirror to that that pulls us away from God instead of bringing us to him? Oh. Our spiritual enemy, his spiritual enemy, the enemy, the prince of darkness, the great deceiver is what he's known as. His number one weapon is to lie, to deceive, so that we will take us out of the will of God and away from God's presence, away from fellowship with God. Look all the way back to Adam and Eve. What did he do? He deceived her, deceived Eve. And then Adam followed, right? That's what happens. Jesus is the truth. The truth sets us free. The devil is a liar, and he uses lies to take us out of the freedom of God's truth. So I want to talk to you today about 3 points that I think are the enemy's plan when it comes to lying. What's the devil's plan when he's speaking his native tongue to draw us away from Jesus using his greatest weapon, the lie? And what does he want us to do? Number one, I believe that he wants to get us to lie to other people. Because it's his native tongue, again, he's the father of lies. It could be as simple as exaggerating a story to make yourself look better. It could be cheating on a test. It could be lying about your taxes. It could be lying about where you were at a certain time. Again, it might even just be telling partial truths. You're not telling everything, but you're just telling the story in a way that makes you look better. Have you ever? There's a movie I watched. I'm not going to tell you what it is because it was a long time ago and probably don't need to watch it anyway. But he was standing outside and he started talking about someone else. He said, man, you know, that's what happened. I did this, I did this, I did this. And the guy's like, no, you didn't. He's like, well, I had a friend who did. And he's like, no, you didn't. He's like, oh, well, wouldn't it be great if, right? So he confronted him in the lie, and it changed until the truth finally came out. How many know we do that sometimes with our lives, with our stories, with what we're talking about, and not even realize it? Not even realize it. And you're thinking in your head while they're telling the story, like, did you really say that? Like, I was having this conversation with somebody, and then I said this, this, and this. Like, did you really say that? Well, no, but I thought it, and it was great. It just happened amazing in my mind. I should have said it, huh? Right? My dad does that to me all the time. I'll be like, hey, I said this. He's like, did you really say that? I'm like, Dad, would you call me a liar? He said, only if you're lying. That's my dad. There you go. Thinking again about, y'all know my dad, so y'all know exactly what happened, right? It's amazing how often our sinful nature will choose to speak the devil's language and lie. I wish I could stand here and say, hey, I've never lied in my life. I don't lie. Because again, Proverbs 12:22 says, the lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. But again, sometimes I do it without even meaning to. It's not like a conscious effort. It's not like I woke up this morning and was like, hey, man, I'm going to lie to everybody I come in contact with. How great a day that's going to be. This is going to be amazing, right? No. But depending on our situation and what's happening and where we're going to, we end up having issues with our tongue, not speaking the truth. And it hurts us. It hurts us. So it's our choice whether we're going to lie or not. So back in the 70s, there was a comedian named Flip Wilson. Y'all remember Flip Wilson? He played Geraldine And that was way before Tyler Perry was Madea, right? Long time before that. But what was Geraldine's famous saying? Devil made me do it, right? How many know that's a lie too? I mean, he just puts it out there and dangles it in front of you to do it. That looks really good. Let me go that way for a minute, right? That's what the Bible says. It says we sin when we're drawn out by our own lusts and desires, right? We do it because we wanted to do it. But how many of you know it makes us feel better if we can blame it on somebody else? Sure. Well, I did. Like my kids, man. I love my kids. But we have these conversations, and one of them will be in trouble for doing something. And I've told y'all this before, but one of them be in trouble for doing something. And I'll be like, well, why'd you do that? She's like, well, she did this, this, and this. I'm like, I ain't talking about her. I'm going to deal with her in a little while. I'm asking why you did what you did. Well, I did it because of her. I'm like, no. There's a reason why you did it. You were angry. You were frustrated. You were mad. Let's bring out the reason why you did that, and then we'll address the cause of it later, right? Again, one of the things changed my perspective of being a dad, John, came from you the other day. He said this. He said, if I am allowing a five-year-old to change who I am, I don't have a problem with my five-year-old. I don't need a better five-year-old. I need to be a better dad, right? And that's 100% true statement. I need to be better because I shouldn't be drawn out by those things. I should be big enough to say, hey, man, that's not how we act. Not yell and scream and throw things. I'm still working on that, right? I'm still... But it's one of those situations that the temptation comes and it's our choice as to whether we're going to do it. The devil made me do it doesn't work. But he will put you in a situation or put a situation in front of you, and then it's your choice whether to lie or to not lie. It's your choice whether to follow in your father, God's way of life, or the devil, the father of lies, way of life. Number two, I believe the devil wants you to lie to yourself. I think this is one of the biggest ones. Get you to lie to yourself. Not just to lie to others, but again, to yourself. So you start justifying your lies. Occasionally, you might even double down on your lies and go really big with them, right? Start to tell another lie to cover up a lie, to cover up a lie. It's like a telephone or like a spider web, right? Like a spider web that's built and there's different paths and you can't remember which one you're supposed to go on because you've told so many and you can't keep things straight, right? Because once you start telling one lie, you tell another one to cover it up and another one to cover it up, and before too long, you've changed. And again, you don't understand who you truly are. We use the little lies, well, at least I'm not that bad, or it's not that big of a deal. Or I can quit any time, or I'm not hurting anybody, or it's not my fault, or I'm just a victim. It's everybody else's fault, not my own. How many of you know a lot of times when people come to and they talk to me, and I say, well, what? Why are you in this place? Well, it's because of them. Oh, well, okay. Well, what did you do in the situation? Like, you had to bring yourself to this place, right? You had to allow yourself to get to this place. One of the most powerful... sayings, quotes, whatever, was what you allow today will become commonplace tomorrow, right? So if I allow myself to say a little lie today, guess what? Tomorrow it's not gonna affect me none, right? Because I'm used to doing it. And the more I do it, I form that habit. But do you know how many of you know habits work both ways? There's good habits and bad habits. We talk about habits and we're thinking, oh, it's bad. No, there are good habits that we put into our lives. There are good habits that we need to do that. And understanding who we are and what role we play in the situation is probably more important than what role anybody else plays in a situation. Why? Because I can only control me. I can't control you. I can't control my kids. You know, I try really hard, right? Can't control my wife. She's her own person. Now the two become one and we work together on things. But how many of you know we think differently about some things? And so we got to sit down and walk through them together and say, this is what we're going to do. I mean, I ain't going to tell y'all we don't get in arguments. That would be lying. We're talking about that today. I can't do that. Right? We have disagreements and arguments, but we have to come together and understand we see things differently. And then we can't lie to ourselves and understand that I'm not part of the problem in this situation, that it's all my wife's issue. Right? Look, I love my wife, y'all. She don't have issues. She don't, maybe the little ones, but not really bad. She's over there. She can't defend herself, so I'm going to stop talking about my wife and her issues. But how many know if the devil can get us to lie to ourselves, we'll end up doing things that are unspeakable and us not having an issue with them. Let me show you the scriptures. Y'all ready? David, one of my favorite characters of the scriptures, in 2 Samuel 11, he thought he was above the rules because he was the king. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. That's one of the main things of this whole story. Had David been at war like he was supposed to be, these other things wouldn't have happened. Let's think about where we're at in our lives, where we physically go, the things we physically do, and understand that that plays, not doing what we should do, it just opens the door for us to do what we're not supposed to do. Does that make sense? He was supposed to be at war. He was up on the rooftop. He saw a naked woman bathing, and he's, next thing you know, he said, go get her, bring her here, talk to her. He committed adultery, and then he started lying to cover up another lie, and then another lie, and then another lie. The husband didn't give in to his plan. You guys can go back and read it. Uriah was a stand-up guy. He did what he knew was right in his heart. He said, man, it's not fair for me to be here doing these things when all the guys that I'm with are out there fighting. I'm not doing that. It's not right. He did what was right in the situation, right? Later on, so David sends him to the front, has him killed, and then he has another wife, right? And in chapter 12, Nathan comes to David and says, David, let me tell you a little story. He said, once upon a time, there was a very rich and powerful man who had more wealth and herds and animals than you could even imagine. Then there was a very poor man who had only one little lamb that his kids loved. The kids loved this lamb. It was like a pet to this man. And then one day, a hungry person came to the rich guy's house, and instead of killing one of his own animals to feed the hungry man, he took the poor guy's only lamb, he killed it, and fed the hungry man. David looked at the prophet, and he was furious. He was so angry. He said, that's the worst thing I've ever heard. This rich man should be put to death. He must pay for this horrible crime. And the prophet Nathan said, you are that man. You're the one that did that. How many of you know when we start lying about things, we end up being and allowing things into our life, like I said a minute ago, that we never would have allowed into our life to start with. We end up in places that we never should have been. And that's why the devil wants us to lie, to cover it up, but then lie to ourselves and say that it's okay for us to do that. It's okay for us to do that. Some of us today, man, if we would really ask God and start talking to God about the things that are going in our life, that the Holy Spirit would speak that to us. Hey, you're the one that's doing those things. Don't look at other people. Don't look for other people. You're the one that's been lying to others. You're the one that's lying to yourself now. You're deceived. You've deceived yourself, and you are living apart from God's truth. So what does the enemy want us to do? He wants us to speak his native language, the father of lies. No truth is in him. If he convinces us to lie, even in our own life, he can take us out of the truth of God's word. We won't even know that we're there. Right? Number three, all those other two are just to get us to live a lie. His plan is to get you to live a lie. Claiming one thing but doing something completely different. What's that? That's what the world sees in the church so much. A group of people that say one thing about how to live and how to do and how to act, but then do something completely opposite of that. Well, that's not an amen point, but it is a good one. Let me say this, man. It's not all of us. It's not all of you. But you know what? Some of us do that. I'll tell you one of the biggest places we see that at. Y'all ready? Social media. Right? We see how great and how good. This is one thing we don't understand. We see the good side of everybody's life, the best moments of everybody's life, and don't, I ain't putting the bad ones in there. What are y'all going to think of me? Right? But then what happens is I'm going to use myself. is I start looking at what everybody else's life looks like and says, my life doesn't look anything like that. My family doesn't look anything like that. We have issues. We have problems. Well, they do too. They're just not putting them on there for you to see. And then people are trying to live. And I told you guys this story before. We had a couple when we first got married. We were about 3 years in, and they were dating, and they were talking about getting engaged and getting married, and they had had the talks, but they weren't there yet. And they were coming over for dinner. We started meeting with them constantly, like once a week. They'd come over to hang out. We'd eat dinner, you know, whatever. So they came in, and one night she called my wife and said, hey, can you do me a huge favor tonight? Y'all remember this story? She said, can you do me a huge favor tonight? My wife's like, what? Yeah, anything. What do you need? She's like, can you and Toby get in a fight? I'm like, wait, what? Like, can y'all get into a fight? An argument in front of us. And it was like, no, why? She's like, well, because his name's Chris. He's like, Chris and I have been fighting a lot, and he thinks that our relationship isn't right because we're fighting all the time. And look at your relationship. You guys never fight. I'm like, poor kid. If only you knew, right? First 3 years of marriage, we had plenty of them, right? I mean, we're like almost 19 years now. We still got plenty of them, right? But it's one of those situations, if I look at somebody else and I can believe that lie, and then I start to live the lie because I want, like I could have taken that moment and be like, you know what, you're right. We don't ever fight, y'all. Never. We took that night to sit down and talk to them about how that's what we did. We say, hey, listen, I know you guys have been arguing a lot. We argue as well. We just don't do it in front of people, right? Like, you know what? I'm gonna be honest. My mom and dad's watching, listening, right? They never fought in front of us. If one of them started getting aggravated, the other one would either say, my mom would say, Bill. And he would look at her, and he'd just be like that. My dad would say, Barbara. She would look at him, she'd go like that, right? And they would stop. They would stop. And then when they got alone, they would finish their conversation. That's good in a couple of ways. One, because they had an opportunity to get over their anger before they talked about it, right? How many of you know that's one of our biggest issues? Is we talk in the middle of it and we say dumb things. Guys, be honest. Raise your hand. I say dumb things when I get upset. There you go. All right. Some of you guys are not being honest. We'll pray about lying in a minute because that's what we're talking about today. But it's one of those situations. We could have perpetuated that lie and not been able to help them see, look, you're going to have disagreements, but there's a right way to handle those things, right? Let's work on how to handle those issues so that when you do have an argument, look, I'm 19 years in. I still mess it up. It just happens, right? I'm me. Look, I'm sharing a bunch of quotes with y'all today, but I love the quote where it says that when God called me to my ministry, he had already factored in my stupidity, right? Like when he called me to go do this thing, he already knew, man, you're a bonehead. You're going to mess some things up. So let's do it slow, Tobe, me and you, all right? We need to understand that we see all these things around us, and what they are lies of the enemy saying, well, you should be like this, or your marriage should be like this, or your life should be like this, or your kids should act like this, or you should teach your kids this way, or do this with your kids. How many of you know everybody's got an opinion on how you should do what you should do? How many of you know you don't need to listen to any of them? Like, I ain't supposed to listen to nobody? You know, you can listen to them. You can take the good and spit the bad out. Even a cow's smart enough to nuzzle out the briars before he eats, right? That's another saying from my dad. Y'all probably heard that before. When he bends down and gets a whole mouthful, he spits out the bad and he keeps the good. You know, we need to do that with advice and things that we see. Instead of taking it and making our life a lie. Because then it's never can be what God created it to be. Right? Never can. We see it, man. They're like, here's my new vacation stuff. Here's my new thing that I bought. Or here's this, here's that. My life is perfect. But inside, most of them are battling with depression and discouraged. And every single day, the reason why they're putting that out there is because they want people to say, look how great your life is. The devil wants us to tell lies. He wants us to believe our lies, and ultimately, he wants us to live those lies. One of my greatest fears as a pastor. Y'all ready? I'm going to leave that out. I might need it again in a minute. One of my greatest fears as a pastor is that I don't share the word in a way that is true and real, and it leads you in a different direction than to Christ. As a pastor, I struggle with that. Not because I want to, but because I want to make sure that everything that I tell you comes from the Word of God. Every advice that I give to you is not my advice, but what should come from the Bible. How many of you know that's hard to do? It's really easy for me to tell you what I think you ought to do. How many of you know? I mean, my life ain't perfect. I don't do everything right. Right? Don't ask my wife again about that one. She'll give you a list. I don't know. Oh, I went up to the beginning again. Sorry. We need to understand that we all have these issues. And that when it comes to the Word of God and how it's shared, that we need to get it all from this book, from the Bible. The principles, the way we see ourselves, the way we look at ourselves, not the way that the world does it, but the way that God wants it done. I mean, you know, I think that there will be a great number of people who are deceived into believing that they're following God when they're truly not. Right? So, think about this thought. Paul, when he was persecuting the Christians, thought he was doing everything he could for God. Right? And it wasn't until he met Jesus that it all changed. And he said, I've been following the wrong one. I've been doing the wrong thing. And I think one of the greatest lies that the enemy can tell us is lies that seem close enough to what God's word would say, but far enough away that we don't follow Christ. Amen. We put rules, we put regulations, we put all these things in our life, and we think, because I'm doing all these things, I'm good. When the scripture tells us in the end times, read the back of it, it says that there will be some that will come and say, but we did this, we did this, we did this in your name. And he says what? Depart from me, I never knew you. Why? Because we don't have the relationship. I think one of the biggest tools that the enemy uses in our life is to deceive us and to think that we are doing exactly what we should be doing and leading us away from God. You say, well, how do I know? Study. Study to show yourself approved, right? Get in the Word of God. Find out what the Word of God says about the way that I should act, the things that I should do. And you say, well, that's legalism. Well, no, man. There's a difference in the reason why I'm doing the things I'm doing that makes it legalism or not, right? If I'm doing all these things so that God will love me, I'm wrong. He loves me anyway. If I'm doing these things so that other people can come to know who he is, that's the right reason right there. That is the right reason. We need to look in the Word and make sure that we're not being confused. 1 John 2:4 says, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep my commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly, the love of God is perfected. By this we may know him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walks. So if I abide in Christ, right? If I'm following Christ, then my life should look like his when I deal with situations. When people come at me and they're angry and upset and frustrated, I don't kick them or throw things at them or yell and scream or go talk to somebody else about how horrible they are. You say, well, should I just let people walk all over me? No, no, no. There's a way to stand up for yourself and for what you believe and do it in a right way, right? Scripture tells us, be angry, but don't sin. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and this person, the truth is not in him. There's no obedience, there's no life change, there's no fruits. We're not saved by our works. We are saved by grace. But as the book of James talks about, faith without works is dead. Right? The works have to be a part of our life. The works show that there's been a change. The works show that I'm not the old man. I'm new. I'm a new creation. When we truly know God, our lives are different. They're still going to be a struggle. But probably might even be more of a struggle. Because why is the enemy going to fight against somebody that's doing what he wants them to do already? Hey, man, you're doing good. Just smooth sail. So if your life has been smooth sailing, maybe you need to look at God and say, God, am I in the right spot, man? Because this is really easy. Not that I want it to be hard. I mean, I'm just saying. Yeah, careful what you ask for. Bible says you ask it, you get it. There you go. Oh, what are the reasons for why we do the things that we do? Why are the reasons? Some people lie to protect your feelings or to make you feel better. Not telling you the truth, but telling you what you want to hear, right? So, yeah, you guys remember American Idol? Now I think it's like America's Got Talent or something. Y'all remember Simon Cowell? Like, he was the most blunt, rudest dude ever, right? When he said things. Like, he didn't hold any punches. He didn't speak the truth in love, so don't be like him in that aspect. But during some auditions, man, they would have some really, really horrible singers, right? Just horrible singers. And he would tell them, you need to do something else with your life. Like, he'd be blunt. He'd be like, look, you can't sing. And then they would say, but my mom said I could sing. My mom said I'm good, like I have the voice of an angel. And he would say, well, your mama lied to make you feel better, right? Your mama, she just flat out told you a story just because she wanted you to be proud of what you were doing at the time. But you can't sing. It sounded like you stepped on a cat. Those were his actual words, right? Again, he didn't say them in the right manner, but the story of why he said those things, right? Sometimes we to make people feel better, we tell lies. To make people, some people, to make themselves look better, they tell lies. But this is the thing, man. If the average person lies 4 times a day, is it okay to lie if I'm helping you out? That's one of the first things that April and I went through in our marriage. We were married about a year, and I said something. She asked me a question, and I said, okay, I have to ask a question before I answer this question, all right? I said, do you want me? That's not what happened. Let me take that back. I just lied to y'all, right, in a sermon about lying. So what happened is I told her the answer to the question, and she got mad at me. And you can ask her about it. And I said, hold up, wait. I said, just so that I know, and we're on the same page, is it okay for me to lie to you if it's going to help your feelings or make you feel good about yourself or not, you know, it just to help you? Or do you want me to always tell you the truth, even if you're going to be unhappy with what I say? And that's what she said. She said, no, I want you to always tell me the truth. I said, so is that, go back to that thing. Don't ask me no questions. I ain't going to tell you no lies, right? If you don't want to know the answer to it, don't actually ask the question. Because if I'm going to be honest and you ask me that, I'm going to tell you what you may not want to hear. But how many of you know, what we may not want to hear sometimes is exactly what we need to hear. And we have to have people in our lives that we know will tell us the truth. But here, I'm gonna close. What time is it? I'm gonna close down. I gotta hurry, man. Y'all are listening slow. I'm gonna tell you these next two. I don't know what you just said, but somebody else laughed, so it was good. The root reason of most of us lying, just to be 100% honest, is because we don't completely trust God. You say, well, how is that? I'm lying because I don't feel good about myself. Well, if you understand that God created you perfect just the way that you are, right? You say, well, I did some of these things to myself. Yeah, but he can free you from those things. He can change you into who he created you to be. We believe the lie will work better than the truth. We think that the lie might keep us safe. If I tell a lie, then I won't get in trouble. But as we lie, we are actually not safe because we are trying to build our life on the foundation of a lie. How many of you know the foundation is everything? when it comes to relationships. That's why it's so important that you make sure you're not one of those ones that lie to someone in the first 10 minutes of a conversation. Why? Because then you've got to try and live up to that lie. It's okay. It's okay. We may think that if we tell a lie, it might make us feel better. But the problem is that we build the relationship on things that will never last. So April and I first got together, first date. Y'all ready? She hates it when I tell this part of it, but I tell it anyway. We went to Chili's on Segan Lane in Baton Rouge, right? The first date, we were there probably all of 5 minutes, and I said, listen, I got to tell you something. It's just me and her. That's it. First date. We had met at church, and I had asked her to go out. We'd seen each other a couple times, whatever, whatever. So we're sitting there, and I had just given my life to Christ like a month before that. If I had not given my life to Christ, she would not be sitting there with me at that time because that's who she was, and I was completely different than I am today. Thank you, Jesus, that most people, I tell them my life story, and they're like, no, that's not you. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I'm different now. It's great. But I sat across that table, and I said I was a drug addict. I was an alcoholic. I dated strippers my whole life. I said, but God changed my life, and I'm looking for my wife. If you're not her, I don't need to waste your time or mine. Like, wait, what? I thought we were just having Chili's, you know? but the whole purpose behind it was this. If she can't get past that, if I lie to make myself seem good in those first 10 minutes, and then she truly finds out who I am later, will she ever be able to trust me in our relationship? Except for the time I bought the desk. Y'all remember that. Let's just forget about that part, right? Will she ever be able to trust me because she finds out these things later on her own? Or is it better that I just give you the whole truth now? Because if you can't handle the truth now, you'll never be able to handle it later, right? We need to understand that in our relationships, in the people that we come around, and what we do every day, our word needs to be truth coming out and not lies. Because again, the building blocks of our relationship, we think if I tell a lie, I'll avoid the conflict. But the truth is that sometimes the best relationships are on the other side of working through the conflict. Yeah. You know how much stronger my wife and I's relationship is now that we've gone through all the things that we've gone through? The disagreements, the issues. Now, I'm not thankful for the issues or the disagreements, but I'm thankful that God has strengthened our marriage, right? The root of all of this is that we believe that our life, that our lies work better than God's truth in our life. That's the reason why many of us lie, and it's because we don't trust God. Let's make it simple. Who's the devil? He's the father of lies. What's his tongue? Native tongue? Lies. The greatest tool he has to deceive us away from the truth. We believe the truth is the person is Jesus, right? We believe Jesus spoke John 14:6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. John 8:31-32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. How many of you need to be free this morning? So ultimately, lies bring bondage. The truth brings freedom. Lies bring bondage. The truth brings freedom. We need to be free. The next thing. So in your notes, two things. Really quick, then I'm going to quit. You ready? First thing, and I said that about 5 minutes ago, but it's okay. I'm not going to lie this time. Number one, we confess to people for healing. Confessing our sins. You say, where are you getting that from? I'm getting it from James. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power at its working. So why do I confess my sins to Nick? Why do I confess my sins to John? Why do I confess my sins to the people that are around me? So that one, they can help pray with me. Together, we can see a change in my life. And two, so that these guys can hold me accountable for the issues that I have going on in my life. And they can look at me and say, Tobe, We prayed about this issue, man. How are you doing? Not because I want to run over here and tell everybody else what you did, but because I'm concerned about you and I want you to be the best that you can be. Confess our sins to one another. If you want your healing from the addiction, the complaining, the gossiping, the lying, whatever your issue is, then find a godly person to be accountable for. That's why, like I said, I love the people that God's put in my life around me, because I encourage them and they encourage me. And we walk through it together. Because again, we're better together. Second thing, we confess our sins. We confess to God for forgiveness. So healing, forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He wants to change us. But what do we have to do before we can be changed? We have to be 100% honest. Look, I've got this issue, God, and I can't handle it. I want you to take it from me. I've got this character flaw that I don't like, God. I need you to help me with it. I have no secret. You have no secrets from God, honestly. Like Adam and Eve hiding behind the bushes, and he's like, hey, where are you guys at? It's not because he didn't know where they were, right? He was wanting them to say, hey, this is where I'm at. I'm hiding in the bushes because I'm afraid. You don't have to be afraid of my presence, as God says. You don't have to be afraid of my presence. Regardless of what you've done, you are my child. We forget that thought. We forget that truth, that promise, that we don't have to be afraid of him. He's not waiting to punish us, right? He's not waiting to punish us. He's waiting for us to come to him and say, I need your help more than anything in my life. I can't do it by myself. Remember, the devil's a liar. The first thing he'll do, you do something wrong, be like, I can't go to God because, man, he's going to be so mad at me. Don't believe that lie. Don't believe that lie. So what does the devil want us to do? He wants us to lie, to believe the lie, and to ultimately live that lie out. But this morning, man, I want to tell you guys, you can come back up. Aaron, you can come back up, whoever's coming. I want you guys to understand this, that there is freedom in Christ. There's freedom in what he did for us. And we don't have to make our lives better so people love us and care about us. We don't have to make our lives seem interesting. Because how many of you know, man, if the people love you, they're going to overlook your issues. Right? Or they're going to help you walk through them if they love you. Right? I love my kids. If they come to me and they say, Dad, I did something stupid, I did this, I'm like, why did you do that? First of all, because that's my reaction. And second of all, I'm like, okay, how can we fix it? What can we do? How can we learn from this? Like, okay, last time we had this issue, we did this to correct it. It's not corrected, so how do we change it so you understand? I'm just be real. I spank in my house if they need it, if they don't need it. Like, I ain't spanking my kids in forever. But I still tell them, hey, you do that, I'm going to light you up. They're like, I ain't going to do that then, right? That's how we do it. Like, if I do that, what's going to happen? A spanking. All right, so you want to do that? Well, no, so I ain't going to do it, right? And when whatever the punishment is, when they come to me and we go through it again, like I said, and they do it again, I said, okay, it didn't work last time. How do we fix it now? If we would look at God in that aspect of saying, hey, all right, we walked through it this time, and this is how I handled it with you. You didn't walk all the way through it, so you're going to walk through another situation that's going to allow you to change. I'm going to let you go through it, right? I'm going to let you walk through it, because sometimes if I pull my kid out of the situation, guess what happened? They're going to end up right back in the same situation. But if I allow them to walk through it with them, me walking with them, so that they don't get hurt, and I know that they're going to be all right in the middle of the situation, they learn from that situation. How many of you know you're the exact same way? So when we're going through those issues and those problems, man, don't look at it like, God, you're punishing me because of these things. That's a lie from the devil, okay? God's not punishing you because you did something he's not happy with. Read your scripture. Judgment happens after, not right now, right? Now, we do have consequences and things that we got to go through on this earth, right? But he's not waiting to just get us. He wants to help us through our situation. And the only way we can do that is if we come to him and say, God, this is my issue. Be truthful. This is what I've got going on. This is the help that I need. Help me with it. And then look for him in the middle of your situation. Amen? Yeah. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm really quitting this time. You be honest and say, hey, man, thinking about what you said today, thinking about the words that you were using and everything that you said about lies and about not meaning to lie and about not being truthful for whatever reason, for whatever the cause, I see right now that I have an issue that I need to have taken care of. I need to be truthful with myself. I need to understand the issues that I have, and I understand who God created me to be. I need to understand who God created me to be. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Nobody looking around. You be honest with yourself and you say, you know what, that's me. I need some help. I need some help, honestly. Just put your hand up and put it back down. God, I need some help. I need some help. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know what the cool part is? Is when I come to him and I ask him, he hears me and he answers me. Thank you. He allows me to be a new creation. I want you guys to all pray this prayer with me. Again, it's not these words that say it. It's our heart, and it's the confession by our mouth. That's what the scripture says. If we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, that we shall be saved. And I believe that's saved in every aspect, in every area of our life. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I have a need. I have an issue. Your son died so that I could have freedom. So that I could have forgiveness. So that I could be new. Help me now. I give you my life. Help me put on my new self every day. To be who you created me to be. Thank you that I'm part of your family. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. Now listen. We talked about a while back that knowledge without obedience doesn't mean anything, right? So now you have the knowledge. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to apply it to your life? How are you going to make it work in your life? Think about the things that you say, the words that you say, how you use your big fat mouth to speak to people this week, right? Remember complaining. Remember gossiping. Remember lying. Next week, man, come back. I'm going to talk about speaking life. How many of you know it's not important just to speak? Not speak the bad things, but we need to be speaking life into people, right? Blessing and curse. So if we're not cursing, that means we're blessing, right? And the scripture tells us this, before I get into it too much, I'm ready to go. We can go for another half hour. Just kidding. Scripture tells us this, that we will give an account for every idle word that we speak. I don't know about you, but I want some credit for the good stuff, right? I want to be able to speak life into people and make people see who God is and who they can be in him, right? That should be the desire of our hearts. So come back next week and enjoy. If you can come to the Bible study Wednesday in the morning, Charles is going to be doing Romans. So Charles was doing the Bible study, and then I took over for Romans, this little section, and so we only got through half of the... I'm carrying on in Charles's, you know, his stead. We only got through half of Romans 1. Usually I get through the whole thing, but they were listening really, really slow on Wednesday. So we only got the chapter verse 16. So he's going to go from 16 to the end this week. And then we'll pick up with 2 next week. We'll be the following Wednesday night. We'll be back. And we are in chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians. And then ladies, come and be a part of the ladies thing. I know this is a brand new month and it's at the beginning. Put it on your calendars now so you don't miss it. Guys, next Saturday coming up, men's breakfast. I may or may not be here. I know John's going to be taking care of the word and making sure things happen. And Aaron as well. Surprise. It's going to be a good time, guys. Come and hang out and be a part of it. And we're going to sing, and then we'll pray before we go out the door. Stand up. Let's worship God for just a minute.